Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the opportunity you've given us to hear the gospel proclaimed this evening. We are thankful, Lord, for the message that Brother Hayes will teach us tonight on the Lamb of God, your Son Jesus. We are thankful for you sending him to this earth, Lord, to die on behalf of sinners like me. Thankful, Lord, that such a one as myself can hear a message that Brother Hayes will preach tonight and understand what is required of not just me, but all mankind to be saved. We pray, Lord, that someone wants to be obedient to this message tonight and to allow the Lamb of God to teach him his ways and what is necessary for them to be saved and give them the divine instructions through heaven's invitation as to how they can obey the gospel tonight and be added to the one church, the Church of Christ. Lord, we are thankful that once in Christ, we have the opportunity to be made righteous and to be declared righteous in your sight. Pray, Lord, tonight that someone seeking the truth is seeking that truth we can read in the New Testament. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Klondike. We appreciate you so very much for working with me, and we are so thankful to have you in support of our program. And to those who are on the call tonight, we are so thankful to have each and every person on, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call, and I am excited to introduce our speaker tonight, and we encourage you to open your Bible and take notes of the things that he was saying. I speak in the person, Brother Ronnie Hayes, a good friend of mine, a co-laborer in Christ. We've done gospel meetings together and campaigns. And he's from Adamsville, Alabama, a great preacher of the gospel. And tonight I've asked him to come on as another one of our repeat defenders of the truth, talking about God's word and settling the matter, in this case tonight, about the Lamb of God. Brother Hayes, help us with that.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. It is always a privilege that I have to be a part of this program and to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with all those that are listening. I invite you this evening to take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and I want to look at verse 29, and then I want to look at verse 36. It is in these two passages that we see the term, the Lamb of God, used. In verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Then down in verse 36, the next day, we see that John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he walked and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Verse 29 is a very interesting passage. It's interesting because, first of all, it uses a term that we don't use very much these days. Behold. He says, I want you to look. And the Greek word there means to look earnestly, look deeply, to gaze, to have a penetrating view in relationship to the object of which I am pointing you to. It's more than a glance. John said, Behold. He said, Take a deep look. In other words, he's saying, I want you to investigate this one who is supposed to be the Lamb of God. That expression, the Lamb of God, simply refers to the Paschal Lamb that we find back in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and I want you to look at verse 5 where it says, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Here is the lamb that was to be taken and was to be used the night of the Passover. And the blood was supposed to be put on the doorpost. And so when the death angel saw this blood, he would pass over. He would give freedom to, he would allow those individuals that were protected by the blood of that lamb to be free. Those who are not protected by the lamb are going to die. So John says, behold. I find it interesting, if you look back in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, I want you to look at verse 19 beginning. Here is John, the baptizer, again. And he's called two of his disciples, and he sent them to Jesus. And here's what he asked. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? This is not the first time that John, the baptizer, has said, we need to investigate this one who claims to be the Lamb of God. That's what I want you to do with me this evening. I want you to investigate the Word of God and to see the truth of God's Word and be obedient unto it before it's everlastingly too late. The Hebrew writer said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and as the Greek bears out, not seen as yet. But there's evidence, there's proof in relationship to what God says. There's proof. This is the Lamb of God. I want you to look intently at Him. And when I'm looking at this Lamb of God, I think there's a couple of things that we ought to see. First of all, I think you ought to see that this Lamb is unique. In John 3 and verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Now look at it. Not perish. Why? Is it because some individual has developed a plan? No, that's not it at all. We see the uniqueness of the Son of God. He's the only begotten. He's the only Savior. John 14 and verse 6, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, you can't look around and find another Savior. You'll not look around and find another Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is that Lamb of God. He's unique because He's sinless. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. Listen, who knew no sin? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Why did John tell his disciples, look, behold, because he saw the uniqueness of the Lamb of God. Not only that, he saw that in this Lamb there is a universal message. Christ said to his disciples in Mark 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We see in Revelation 14 and in verse 6 where John said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Now listen, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now you tell me, who that doesn't include. The message of Jesus Christ is for all. We're to go into all the world and to preach that gospel, that saving message. I'll tell you something else. When John said, hey, look, behold, the Lamb of God, he saw something, someone that was uncompromising. Here you have an uncompromising message of the truth. John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Listen to it. When you look at God's word, there's a lot of people in our world today that don't like the message of Jesus Christ. And you know why? Because it doesn't say what they want it to say. It doesn't allow them to live in sin and still have the hope of salvation. I'm amazed at how many people are destroying their lives because of their marital situations. In Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 9, Christ said, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. There's only one reason given by God, by his word, why an individual is allowed to put away their mate, and that's for adultery or fornication. Now, there's not a bunch of reasons. I get so sick and tired of hearing these people say, well, I fell out of love. Well, who told you you had the right to fall out of love? I heard a faithful gospel preacher say one time, in relationship to a husband and wife, and the fact that, oh, my wife doesn't make me happy, and I'm so unhappy, and I'm thinking about giving up on my marriage. And he looked that man right in the eye and said, who told you you had to be happy? You're married. I've tried to teach my kids all their life, when you say I do, you're done. You're not looking for another mate. You're not entertaining the ideal of another mate. It's over. You've married. You've made your choice. God's message is uncompromising. It's uncompromising when it comes to the quote-unquote modern lifestyle of individuals. I hear this term lifestyle used time and time again as if people are going to legalize sin. In Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and the such like, which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Romans chapter 1 makes it very plain that this quote-unquote alternative lifestyle, which they call homosexuality, men with men and women with women, is ungodly, and the gospel message will not bow to the individuals that want to promote and be politically correct when it comes to sin. John said, take a look. Behold, the Lamb of God. That means something, folks. We need to take a serious look at the Lamb of God. Now, when he tells us, when he calls our attention, he says, behold. Then he tells us two other things. He tells us who the Lamb of God is. And then he tells us what the Lamb of God is going to do for mankind. Behold the Lamb of God. And he's pointing to Jesus Christ. And when he sends his disciples in Luke chapter 7, verses 19 through 23, and they ask the question, are you the one that we're supposed to be looking for? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Savior? He wasn't talking to some Tom, Dick, or Harry. He was talking to Jesus of Nazareth. He was talking of that one that came out of Galilee. He was talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, it paints the picture of the Paschal Lamb. Why? I think there's a reason for it. I think because, in the first place, it shows innocence. You take your Bible and you go back to Isaiah 53 and you look beginning at verse 7 where Isaiah penned of Jesus Christ about his death. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Listen to the innocence. That poor little lamb can be led by its master straight in to the slaughter. Has no idea of what's coming. He's innocent. Let me tell you something. The Son of God was innocent. We've already looked at one passage that talked about the fact that he was sinless. But I want you to look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 22, where again it says, of Jesus Christ, who did no sin. But now note, neither was there guile found in his mouth. There wasn't a corrupt word that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. There wasn't a corrupt thought that came out of the mind of Jesus Christ. There wasn't a corrupt action that was taken by the hands of the Lamb of God. He didn't go to the cross because he was a murderer. He didn't go to the cross because he was a liar. He didn't go to the cross because he was trying to overthrow the Roman government. He was innocent. Even Pilate knew that the Lamb of God was innocent. He called for the basin of water and he washed his hands. I'm washing my hands the blood of this innocent man. That's what he was saying. When you look at the Lamb of God, you see Jesus Christ who was innocent, but not only innocent. And I think this is imperative for us to see. He was pure, just as Exodus 12 and verse 5 talks about the Lamb without blemish. There was not to be any spot or blemish. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, it says that we're saved with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know who this lamb is now. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But please tell me what the Lamb of God will do for me. Oh, don't you love the Word of God? And isn't it powerful here in John 1 and verse 29 when he says, which takes away. Now notice the sin. He didn't say sins. He said sin of the world. That term sin is singular, but it's used as a collective for every bad thing in this world. Jesus Christ can wash away away our sins. When you look at this phrase, he takes away the guilt. He takes away the sins of the world. I think it says a couple of things. I think it says, number one, he removes the guilt, and then number two, he takes away the punishment. I found it interesting what Brother Woods wrote in his commentary when he says there's much, much, much more involved in this verb, taketh away, than just the removal of sins. Jesus Christ suffered in our stead. He allowed the penalty of the law to fall upon himself rather than upon us. We can see that he was a substitution, that in his death, he was a substitution for us in the fullest sense of the term. That's what it means when it says, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It reminds me of so many other words in our New Testament that talk about the removal of this guilt. When you look at Acts 22 and verse 16, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Oh, when your hands get muddy, you can go in and get that soap and that water, and you can wash them clean. Now, let me tell you something. The blood of the Lamb of God is what washes your sins away this evening. Not only that, but when you look at Romans chapter 6, and you begin in about verse 16 and go down through verse 18, you see that it frees us from sin. Look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, it tells us that it redeems us. It buys us back. We can't pay the debt. There's no way that we can pay the debt. But the blood of the sinless, spotless Son of God paid so that our guilt can be taken away. And he also paid for our punishment. He canceled that punishment, what we deserve. When you look at Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Here's the gift of God. You can have it this evening if you will but be obedient to the Lamb of God. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Faith is necessary for us to be saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, the Hebrew writer says. We must repent of our sins, confess the glorious name of Jesus Christ, and be buried with him in baptism to wash away our sins. I want you to pillow your head tonight, and what I want you to see is that Lamb of God. John said, look at him. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He can take away your sins this evening if you will but let him. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.
Friends, you've done it tonight. I appreciate you so very much. Always, you knock the ball out the park. And certainly, we are appreciative to those who are on the call tonight. For my friend has spoken the truth in love, and I know he has because we have worked together on many occasions to preach the simple truth to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we wanted you to hear about the Lamb of God. And tonight, you want to respond to this truth. And you can do it by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Get back with the person who invited you to call and tell them you want to be a member of the Church of Christ and you want to obey this simple truth and you want to be obedient to the Lamb of God. And certainly this is certainly a message to touch the hearts of all those who are listening, that God will send his most innocent Lamb, and that is Jesus the Christ. So what we want you to do, if you have questions, you want further Bible studies, you want to be baptized, no matter where you are in our listening audience, if you can't get back with the person who put you on the call, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make sure we get you in touch with someone who can study with you further or make arrangements for you to be baptized wherever you are, like we've done for many. No matter where they're listening at, we can take care of that for you. Now, you may want to go back and listen to Brother Hayes' message tonight, along with all of other gospel meetings preachers. And you can go to our website. That's Highland Heights, COC.net. That's Highland Heights, COC.net. And there you go. Click on the top tab, Nationwide Gospel Call. And there you will have the Nationwide Gospel Meeting. Click on that one and give you all the different speakers that have come on our call. And you can go, the pictures of the preachers are on there, the locations are on there, the sermons are recorded on there. You can download them. And if you have a question for any particular speaker, it's on our call. Just email us and we'll make sure we get that question to that speaker. I know with them being out chosen that they will be able to defend that truth and be able to answer any questions that you may have. Now, remember, when we're speaking on this call, it's 30 minutes coming to your home, teaching about what you must do to save your soul. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. Because, you know, people are dying. And you could die tonight. But you can't die saying you didn't hear about the Lamb of God, because you heard it tonight. Yeah, you can't die saying you didn't have access to the truth according to the Scripture without addition or subtraction, because we gave you the website and all those topics and on there. You didn't know about the one church. You can't say that. You didn't know about Lord's Supper every Sunday on the Sunday. Not the first Sunday, but every Sunday. You didn't know why we shouldn't use Israel music in worship. You can't say those things. If you come back and listen to our call, you can say you know, because we're going to teach you from the Scripture. And so we thank you for joining us. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for Brother Larry Hayes. Thank you for his ministry. We pray for his family, his ministry, his congregation. Thank you for him helping us to share your word with the world and share the gospel with those who are lost. And we pray, Father, a special prayer of thanksgiving to you for giving your son. We love you, Father, for loving us, even though we're wretched. And we know that the song applies to us, as it says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save the wretch like me. Help us not to forget that we too are saved by your amazing grace. But because we're obedient to your word, as your son was, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. And we pray our listeners will understand that obedience is necessary for salvation. Thank you for those about the men who have volunteered to come on our call every night from 9 to 9:30, volunteering their time. We thank you for all those men that have come on. And we pray for all those speakers who will come on after this, even through the month of January. We pray you continue to bless them with good revelation of things they study so they can present it in a way that the simplest minded person can understand the truth. We love you, Father. We thank you for the conference call, this avenue you've given us. And we can not only don't have to ride on a wagon with horses or drive a car or fly an airplane, but now you've given us the way to go to people's homes. 30 minutes. Those who will invite us in through the phone line. And for that, we're thankful. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Brother Ronnie Hayes kicked us off this week. Another great week of the messages from the Word of God. The Supreme Court of Heaven is ruling on these particular topics that we've assigned to our speaker tomorrow night. The person, Brother Lewis McCray, good friend of mine, from Tylertown, Mississippi. He's going to talk about God doesn't work the matter about the salvation. Then, one of them wrote to know recently, with Austin Wigan from Bonner, Texas, a sound young preacher. Ooh, you don't want to miss up about the wide gate. You know, we want to hear about heaven, but there's another place called hell. There's a wide gate. His dad coming on that Thursday night, Brother Stephen Wigan, and he's going to talk about the straight gate. There's a narrow way for those who don't make it in. There's only going to be a few. Brother Wiggins will talk about that. So, in the Father, that's good. Then, closing out this week, my co-host, my co-labor, rather, and my assistant minister, friend of mine, someone who's been with me in my ministry and our congregation, my friend, Brother Horace Stroud. January 1st, New Year's, he closes out with the fact that everyone needs to understand. And life is just a vapor. Some people who are called in January 2020 this year, they're not here to listen tonight because life for them has ended. So maybe you want to be on Friday night because that could be the end of your life. But Horace is going to talk about the importance of understanding that life is but a vapor. Join us this week. We're going to be a great week. Then, hey, we're excited. By January 2021, we're going to launch that with elders and preachers from different congregations. You know, preachers and elders can preach the same thing. If preachers and elders are qualified, they will all teach the same thing. And that's what we want to prove next month, that we got elders that's just as capable of preaching the truth as the preachers are. And there's no great one. There's no big eye little use. For we are all one in Christ. We respect our elders. We respect our preachers. We're going to show that in January. Join us. May God bless you. Have a good night. Join us tomorrow night. Good night.